Welcome to Get a Grip with Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Get a Grip podcast. I am Shane Bacon. Hope you guys are having a great week. It is an awesome week in the golf world. It's U.S. Open week, and we get to see Los Angeles Country Club on our radar. And if you were not around in 2017 for the Walker Cup that we covered over at Fox back in the day, and this is your first opportunity to see this golf course on television in high definition, let me just prepare you for Thursday. It's going to be awesome. You're going to be very into this. If you've missed the fried egg video, we're going to drop the link in the notes. You need to watch it. It's a preview video, and it gives you a good feel for what this golf course is all about and what you should expect come Thursday, because it's a gem. It's one of my favorite golf courses I've ever played. I was lucky enough to actually play with Spider Miller, who was the captain of that Walker Cup team, and fell in love, you know, right off the bat. And I've talked to Gil about, you know, the honor he had about, you know, getting a chance to restore this place back to what it once looked like. He's told a great story. I'm sure he'll tell it this week somewhere about uncovering the 19th hole. He just found the plans and basically dug it up himself with a bulldozer. Pretty crazy story, and it's a special golf course, and it is worthy of this championship, and golf fans are going to be fired up. Also, this is an underrated thing not a lot of people are talking about. Prime time. If you're an East Coaster, this bad boy is going to be on during dinner. That is incredible. I remember being a part of that 2019 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach, and the numbers are up because people on the East Coast get it during the after work hours, and they get it when they're done playing golf, and that is awesome. As a recently moved East Coaster, I mean, it's been a couple years for goodness sakes, but the beauty of getting West Coast golf is very high on the list. A lot of that obviously comes early in the year with Hawaii and California, but it is awesome. Coming up on Sunday, obviously, is Father's Day. So I just wanted to let you know, if you are in need of a Father's Day gift and you are searching around, just remember that I wrote a children's golf book late last year called The Golfer's Zoo, and it is for kids. It is, the hope is that, you know, they get interested in the book because of the animals, and then somehow that attaches them to the game of golf because they're intertwined throughout the pages. And it was a lot of fun. It was a fun project to do with my friends at Back Nine Press. And you can order not just a copy, you can also order an autographed copy if you go to Back Nine, the number, backninepress.com/bacon. And order right there. And you can check that out and read it and order it for a friend or for the dad in your life. If your husband is a new dad, it's great for that person. So check that out and tip off anybody out there that's searching around on a Tuesday or Wednesday for a late addition to the Father's Day gift game. And a last thing, if you are outside of the United States and you're going to be watching the U.S. Open this week, you're probably going to be hearing my voice for most of it. I'm hosting the world feed for the USGA, and that goes out to basically every country outside of, I think, the United States, the U.K., and I think Asia. I think outside of that, you know, you're in Australia, you're in New Zealand, you're in Canada, you're going to get me. And so also, if you're an American and you want to hear me call the U.S. Open, just VPN it, baby. Jump on the VPN and say you're in Vancouver, and you'll get my feed. So that's an option for you as well. A really fun episode today, recorded with Max Homa last week about LACC. You'll hear about the successes he's had at this golf course. So we talked a little bit about the year and some of the changes he's made in his golf game. And then we get into the dissection of Los Angeles Country Club. And it was a lot of fun, a great conversation with Max. So great to have him back on the pod. I hope you guys enjoy the U.S. Open. We'll be back late on Sunday, early Monday, to just kind of chat about what happened in Los Angeles. A big welcome back to the program. Golfed out, Max Homa. I'm impressed by the amount of golf. I never see you in a non-Dodgers hat or a Titleist hat, so this is a rare occasion.
I've been trying to mix it up because I also didn't see myself enough in other gear. But yeah, it's nice to be back, Shane. I haven't heard that beautiful voice in at least a few weeks, so it's a nice treat.
You've been home for a week. Your sister got married, right? Was that this weekend?
Yeah, we went to San Diego for 4 days, got back Saturday, so got back to practice on Sunday. It was a nice break. I don't care where you live. It's pretty hard to go to San Diego and leave San Diego, man. But it is nice to be home and get back to work. But it was a good wedding. Everybody was on their best behavior, did a great job. My sister killed it. So it was fun. But man, it is such a tease going to Encinitas for a few days. And I don't know, you just feel like you... it would be hard to live there and work because it just feels like you should just be strolling around 24/7, which is what we were able to do. But to live there full time would be quite hard because there's just so much other fun things to be doing.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like living in Spain where you're like, I'm really going to work a 10-hour day in Spain. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to go back to the golf course and grind. I'd rather go walk on the beach. What was your role at the wedding? I thought I saw a little microphone on your tie in one of those pictures. Were you voicing anything? Were you doing any host of ceremonies?
No, that was the I was one of the groomsmen, and my now brother-in-law, he set up where we rented the tuxes from Men's Warehouse. So that was one of the what do they call that? I was about to say handcuffs, but
like a tie clip?
No, it's like what do you put in your wrist right here? I'm blanking on the words. It's too early.
Oh, I know it. I know what you're saying. A cufflink.
Cufflink. It was a cufflink for the button link. I don't really know what they call it, but they give you those with that. So we put them on. So that it was all black. It looked like a mic. But yeah, I was just I was just the groomsman, the brother of the bride. It was quite fun, man. It's wild seeing your like little sister get married. I didn't really think it was going to be a whole big thing, but it was really cool seeing her up there and have some fun and doing all the things. It's always cool to see family, but I'm pretty close with my sister and we obviously don't get to hang out a ton. And then you get to all of a sudden see her get married. So it was a blast.
I mean, obviously, it was a cool weekend to do that. But I mean, when you're laying your schedule out and you get, I'm assuming this is maybe the first time you've had 2 weeks off from PGA Tour golf in a long time. Is it kind of a bit daunting to go, oh, and now we get to travel for 4 days during my 2 week break?
Yeah, it was for sure. But I mean, San Diego, I would.
It's not Arizona where it's 100 degrees.
but yeah, I mean, you would like to, just sit at home and not be on a plane. But it was great. It was such an easy little trip. I don't know. The only bummer, and even Maddie knew this, is just when she was so kind to go through my entire schedule before she laid out the dates for the wedding. But the tour schedule doesn't come out at a very prompt time. So she could only see the majors and knew I wasn't going to be at one. So when Memorial came out, she was, pretty bummed, and I was bummed. I love going to that event, but it was funny because all weekend I had people coming up to me being like, are you bummed you're not at the golf tournament? And I'm like, I'm at a wedding, like, right. it's okay, man, like, it's okay to miss one. But yeah, it was it's always funny on your weeks off, your wife or significant other seems like always is like, oh, let's go on a trip, and you're like, how about we sit on a couch? I don't want to go on a plane.
Yeah, let's do zero things. Yeah, this is
but it was fun. It was easy. At least it was close by.
Yeah, San Diego's helpful. You're a guy that's talked a lot about having a hard time staying away from the golf course. When you get these breaks, and obviously, I mean, you have an event in the middle of it, but is it hard for you to take 3, 4, 5 days away from practicing, hitting golf balls, stuff like that? Or has it been a nice little break as you get set for obviously US Open and stuff?
I usually this one, for whatever reason, I don't think I've played more golf. There's been like a lot made of this schedule. I don't feel like I've played more golf this year, but I am much more tired than everyone seems to be. I don't know if it's just the events are bigger or what it is, but I've been like beat and everyone seems to be a little bit tired. I just think that playing like a major and then playing another tournament right after is just hard, and you're usually worn out anyways. And there's a lot more like dissecting everything you do at a major. So you do all that, maybe just wears you out, and then you play another week. So this last, this most recent time off was the first time I can remember where I probably would have taken time off anyways. And then I was kind of forced to, and I just didn't touch a club for, must have been 6 days, which I never do. So it's fun to get back and practice yesterday. It does make you excited to go. The heat does not, but such is life. But yeah, I don't know. It's it is usually hard, but there's something about whatever this year has been that I really needed and wanted just time away from the clubs. And it's always another, you know, fun journey to come back after 6 days and see if you could still hit a golf ball. I don't know why this game's so messed up like that, but I mean, it's funny. You just don't know if the next time you grab a golf club, it's going to feel foreign or not. Fortunately, it did not, but yeah, I don't know. It's I think everybody, you know, that I've been around these elite guys lately, I just like hear them say things like, you know, I didn't touch a club for 7 days, 10 days or whatever. And I just had never done that. And I'm going to try because there's clearly probably more benefit than repercussion to that.
When regular golfers, not professional golfers, like top 10 golfers in the world golfers, I mean, we take breaks a lot. You know, you have jobs and travel and stuff like that. You know, that 7, 10, 14-day break, we return to the golf course and either – and this is me. I feel like I play better when I take a long break because it's more simplified in the brain. It's typically that second round where I get a little bit more in my head about the golf swing after a long break. For you, when you hit balls after 6 days, and it doesn't seem like a long break, but as you said, it's a long break for you. Do you feel like it's slightly back to basics, even as good as you are?
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, I guess we should learn something from that, huh? Because probably today I'll go and overcomplicate it.
Hopefully you hit it great today.
Yeah, I think part's expectation is yesterday. I guess when I was my chipping felt normal and fine, which was good. I started hitting some wedges and you know, hit a couple kind of a little thin and then would hit a few good in a row. And I just feel like you're sitting there being like, oh, you know, that is nice. That is nice. And it almost puts you in a mental state to then start hitting it great. I guess it is because I know I got to like, you know, 7 irons and you're just kind of hitting shots and trying to feel where the club should be to hit a draw and hit a cut. And you're not really thinking about where, you know, your wrists and arms and legs and blah, blah, blah go. So there definitely is some. I just think that the expectation takes some anxiety off your body and may free you up to hit some better shots. But I don't know. I'm sure I will be rethinking this at some point in the next week or so as I will overcomplicate it and then be frustrated at the 1 of 100 shots that I hit that wasn't quite perfect instead of doing what I did yesterday, which was easing my way into a practice session. And appreciating all the good ones. And I don't even remember the bad ones looking back too much. So yeah, I'll mess this up, I think, like every golfer, but it was nice to talk about it for whatever the last 2 minutes has been.
What's the grade you'd give the year so far? And I'm talking about the year starting in Napa through, so I'll call it the season. What's your grade on the season so far?
I mean, I'd say like A-, B plus at least. I wanted to have more top 10s after last season. I wanted to have more top 10s. I thought I played well last year, had a ton of top 25s, and then converted when I was around the lead, it seemed like. And then this year, I wanted to have more top 10s. I wanted to be more around the lead. I wanted to do the things you see, you know, Scotty and John and Patrick and Xander do, just kind of sniffing around that at least 10th place. You just kind of keep making your not great golf better. You know, so having a not great week that's 14th instead of 20th. So I'm really proud of that. Obviously, 2 wins is amazing. But yeah, I've been around the lead a bit more. But yeah, it's still just the same stuff. The majors have been bad. But other than the majors, I've played great. I had the miscut at Hilton Head, which, you know, it's coming off the heels of playing terrible at Augusta and didn't want to be there. And the golf swing felt bad. And then you go to a golf course that's in a hallway. So that was
really
never going to be good. Yeah, that was just really never going to be good. But other than that, it was cool to kind of, you know, the last top 10 at Wells Fargo, top 10 at Colonial, Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
So sandwiched around a bad, you know, week at the PGA. So I like that. I like that. You know, it's not like I have a bad week and it goes away forever. The Augusta scared me a little bit just because that was the first time my golf swings felt bad. And it felt bad for 2 weeks, but it was kind of cool to, or I guess 3 weeks, but it felt terrible. And then put a lot of work in. It was a minor blessing in a way just to miss that cut in Hilton Head because I got a little extra time that weekend just to like reset. And then I know we didn't make the cut at Zurich, but hit the ball awesome there. We just couldn't buy a putt. So it was cool to see like those things shrinking and like condensing in time. And then, yeah, so I've been really happy with the year, but I mean, I'd be lying if I said these majors aren't starting to bother me at least a little bit.
Well, I mean, I know you've been working with a sports psychologist. Has it been like a year and a half or so you've been doing this, a little bit longer?
Not even a year. It was last November.
Last November. So, I mean, you know, hearing you talk and you say this, the Masters scared you and you have a couple of weeks where it's not feeling great. How do you handle that mentally when 2 weeks feel bad, but 2 years has been great? You know, like how do you see the minimal negative and it kind of overshadowed the massive positive that's been, you know, kind of the recreation of Max Homa over the last 2.5-3 years.
I guess being realistic and you're just really never as far off as you think you are. I mean, it took a few extra days, but I mean, I'm in the midst of, I was prepping for the Masters, then you get to the Augusta and your coach is in the spot where he is trying to get you ready to play the golf tournament, but you want to just get better at golf. So that's a hard thing. And then you're making these minor little tweaks and then going to play the Masters, which is incredibly hard. And you're hitting balls before and after, and it's just all whatever. And then you come way down after that and you go to Hilton Head and you're exhausted and you're now playing a golf course that's very demanding and you're trying to now fix it. So like you're not doing the get ready for the tournament thing, you're trying to fix it. And then it's like, okay, now go play a PGA Tour event, elevated field. Like it's going to be hard again. And then you don't play well. But in some regard, it was nice to just go out and learn how like you need to play golf still. And then you get a weekend off and, you know, it took, once I almost felt like it was a break, you know, the Zurich being a team event is a bit of a, it does feel like kind of a holiday. In a way, I mean, it's just a lot looser. You have somebody to walk with you. It's very, I had a blast again. So, but prepping for it, you know, I'm nervous. I don't want to let Colin down here. And so I had some of that, but in general, I just felt like those like Saturday, Sunday, Monday, getting some time. And then by Tuesday, it felt pretty good. And then all of a sudden Wednesday, you do the, you know, the golfer thing where something just like clicked completely. And then I hit it in, like really good that week. So I guess it's just mentally, you just have to keep telling yourself you're really not that far away from it. And it's almost like the girl in like junior high, like don't scare her off. Like don't freak her out here. Like don't run at her. Like just be nice and cool, play cool, sneak up on the new, don't sneak up on her either, but maybe on sneak up on the swing cues here and there. So it's just little stuff like that, but I don't know. I just was shell-shocked because I hadn't really worked on much of my golf swing for a while. That was different. And all of a sudden I had to do a whole new, not a whole new, but I had to do something different. So that's, and it just sucks happening at Augusta, but I mean, life goes on.
The putting has been incredible. I was looking at your stats. I mean, what's the biggest change? I mean, not coaching, not just like you, what's been the biggest change for you on the greens? Cause I have it here. I mean, you're fifth on tour in strokes gained putting. You know, a couple of years ago around the greens and on the greens, the stats weren't there. What's been the biggest change for you when you're playing tournament golf 18 holes on the greens? I guess aim points probably.
It's aim point, I would say. I mean, nothing's really changed. I think I said on Get a Grip back in the day that I thought I could be like an elite putter because I have my top end putting is awesome. And always was awesome, but my it was just my lulls that go through. You know, it was so streaky. It was either like the best week you've ever seen or bad week. So I just don't think that I'm having as many bad weeks. Or when I do have a bad day, it doesn't seem to linger. But yeah, aim point has probably been the big thing. Just I just found I was a pretty poor green reader, and that's hard. You know, it's hard to be a consistent putter if you're almost getting lucky when you make putts. You know, my inside 10 feet has always been okay. Even before, my inside 6 feet's always been quite good, but I just feel like I'm making a lot more 10 to 20 footers, which I missed a lot of, and you're never going to make a tons of those, but I do feel like I have weeks where it just feels like if I'm in that zone, I have a very good chance. And there's certain putts you read in aim point that when you get good at it, I mean, Joe says it too, but I have a putt and I know it's going to touch the hole. So it could be, I mean, I have crazy stories with it when you've had just perfectly one break putts, but I mean, there's been like 60 footers that before you hit it, I thought like, I know this is going to be okay. So little things like that.
All right. I want to time travel a bit with you, Max. We were recording this a week before US Open week, just for people out there. So anything crazy happens, or like, you know, somebody spray paints one of the greens, we don't know that that happened, but, let's go back to 2013. How was 2013, Max? What was 2013 Max like? That was what, a decade ago?
Yeah. Wow. Oh my, that was a tough one to take right there. Wow. Yeah, he was, man, it probably was better in ways and then worse in ways.
Cocky? Like, were you a cocky senior at Cal? Okay. Okay.
I think I sadly have gotten more confident, since then. yeah, I don't know. Golf wise, I guess looking back on it, it's one, I think everybody will wish they could do this, but looking back, I just wish I could just like shake me and just say, just like stick with what you're doing. It's funny. I saw my golf swing's gotten a lot different. I saw in the lead up, somebody had like a video of the Pac-12s back then. And I remember what I was like going through working on in my swing back then. And it doesn't look, I'm not going to say it looks as good as now. I've made good improvements with my golf swing, but there's areas of that swing that I don't remember how good they were and things like that, where I'm just constantly trying to get them a little bit better. And I just wish I just wouldn't have been doing that. But yeah, no, not cocky at all. But I would say that college provides this opportunity that, especially I was a senior, but like I start to know that if I'm playing well, like I should be up by the lead. I hadn't won anything in college other than I tied for first in an event that ended up going to a playoff and losing. So it would count as a win on your record, but wasn't a real win. I hadn't won. I think I had an absurd amount of seconds both in college and in like the amateur golf schedule for the maybe 2 years leading up to that. I really felt like the, you know, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. I mean, I was top five like crazy and just like, I couldn't win and I was trying not to try, but yeah, I never thought it would happen. Not never, but it was crazy that it happened the week it did on that golf course. That was cool. But yeah, I don't know. Just one of those weeks to start off with a 61 as one does, and then just held on for dear life for three more rounds. But yeah, the young Max was just like this Max, but a little more rough around the edges, and then probably, like I said, a bit better in other areas.
I mean, you said it. I mean, the Pac-12s at the time, I mean, you opened with 61. I was looking up some stuff about that round. The scoring average that day was 73.29. So it was over three shots over par. I mean, LACC was playing very difficult, and you go out there and make nine birdies and don't make a bogey. Were you using that blade Scotty that you probably still have somewhere in your house?
Yeah, I think I had the black one. I had a
thing is so
it
dirty.
It was a crazy round. I forget little parts of that round, but I remember a lot of that. I remember you never know, you know, you're off. One's easy. So I birdied one, easy par on two, which looking back, that's like the hardest hole ever. I think I didn't birdie three and I was pissed. Four, I ran a par putt way by and then hooped it. And then five made birdie the hard par four. And I was thinking, oh, okay, now I can breathe. And then six, the drivable one, I hit it in the front bunker. Could not be easier. Didn't hit a good bunker shot and missed a 10 footer. And then birdied seven. I think we had five iron that day on the par five or par three.
Were they playing it as a par three that day?
They were playing par three and it was at like two. It was like front middle pin and it was like a longish but not nearly as long as they could play it. Then hit it on eight and two and three putt, then stoned it to 3 feet on nine, which is like the hard par three. So if you look back on it, like I birdied minus other than one, I birdied all the hard holes. And then I think I lipped out on 10 and then I parred 11 and then I birdied 12, and I'll never forget walking off that green because my scorer it was this very kind woman and she says, wow, like it's something about my round. And I was trying to, you know, whatever, but I didn't know it was like that great. You're just playing and it was going well. And then I parred 13, but then it got silly because I birdied 14, 15, 16, 17. And then I finished my round, part 18, finished my round. And I was walking off the green and some guy from you know, maybe another team or the crowd, because there's a few people watching, was like, oh, I heard you shot 61. I'm like, no, I shot 63, because I thought the par was 72. And then I signed my scorecard and I said, holy shit, I just shot 61. But I didn't know how good it was. And I came in and I think I was winning by 4 or 5. And, but it was 36 whole day. So I had to go play like 15 minutes later, which was not cool. But it's just, I don't know how to explain that day on that golf course, but it was a full on, everything worked. And I obviously did everything great, but it also just felt like I just putt uphill the entire day. I never felt like I had too many difficult putts. And I hit some close, but I really just was like always in position. It was fun.
So had you shot 61 before?
No, I think I was like 61? I think I shot 62 at Meadow Club, which is a significantly easier golf course up in the Bay Area. But yeah. I don't think I'd ever even like, in competition, I think I'd probably shot a 63 maybe, but nothing on a course like that where it was like, you know, you're going into it, you're prepping. And I mean, I know it's college, but you're prepping and it feels like a major, like, God dang, like, you know, we need to hold on for dear life. My coach has a really funny story I will bore you with for hopefully only 30 seconds. Way back in the day, Cal was just, you know, my coach was putting it together, Steve Desmond. And they didn't have a ton of guys. And one of the guys quits the week before, I think it was Pac-10s, or I'm going to say Steve's old, so say Pac-8s. And he quits. He's like, I can't do this. You know, I'm not good enough. I don't want to do this. I'm hating golf, whatever. So he's like, okay, fine. They go down to Pac-12s. And one of the guys rolls his ankle and they need him. They don't have another player on the roster. They need him. So long story short, but he called everybody under the sun and finally convinces this guy to come. So this guy gets on the plane. He's not going to get to play a practice round. Coach Dez tells the team, hey, I got so-and-so to come down. Nobody tell him how hard this golf course is. I told him it's easy. It's not going to be too much of a problem, blah, blah, blah. He's like, do not tell him. So guy gets in next morning. Coach has his hotel room door just slightly open for the boys to kind of like, if they need to grab something. And as he's getting ready, he hears, God damn you, Steve Desimone. So-and-so just said it's the hardest effing golf course he's ever played. And I guess the guy went out there and shot like 86, 86, 86 and just was like seeing double birds, never playing golf ever again. But it's one of my favorite stories. It's like a perfect college golf story. But I'd never gone to where you're like prepping to kind of hang on and pars are good and then get dumb hot. But it sure was fun. But I was really proud of the next three rounds and playing those in even. And I don't know. It was awesome. I just can't believe that we get to play a major there, not only because I've gotten to play it before, but because it's in kind of my hometown. And yeah, just that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had to play two rounds that day. So that afternoon round after you're 9 under, and like you said, you might have a 4 or 5 shot lead. What was your mentality? Just let's go out and hang on to this. Let's shoot even. Like what can I do here?
That's a great question. I do remember sitting there. So I hadn't won, like I mentioned. So like, as much as everyone's hooting and hollering out about a 61, like I just want to win a freaking golf tournament. I've gotten second and third and fourth and fifth. Like I did not care. I will say this, looking back, it's pretty cool to have like a course record or whatever, but like it means absolutely nothing. I have a course record, or I had at least for a while, the course record at Denver Country Club. No one's told me if it's been broken. I have no idea. And I doubt anyone there even knows I have it. You know, the one at Chica, the one that we joke about with Joe, the par 3 course, like it's possible someone's broken. I don't think that they did, but it's possible. But we are the keepers of that record. Like you have to go through us to tell us that you did it. So, or us to confirm it. So as cool as it is, it's like, it doesn't mean that much unless it's your home golf course, I guess. So yeah. So I finished that. I just remember everyone's coming up to me and I'm just sitting there eating my lunch. I'm just thinking like, don't get overly excited. Like, this is cool, but it literally does mean absolutely nothing. It's actually going to hurt more if you lose. So it's tough that it was the first day, but I just went out. It was kind of nice just to keep playing because I knew I was playing good. But I remember, I think I might have birdied one again, but I remember immediately it felt like it was just going to be harder. Like, it just the day, you know, it's in the afternoon now and the ball wasn't just getting as close. I wasn't putting uphill as much. Just every, like, golf hit me and I really grinded hard, I think, to shoot. I think I shot even, and I was proud of that just because, I mean, they always say it's hard to back up a great round with another good round, and that's usually when you have, you know, you sleep on it, so you think maybe you could do it right after you just finished, but that was not the case. Just the little things, man. You get great numbers some days where everything feels like it's a stock shot. You feel like you're in the fairway on the par fives, especially. I don't know. You just things click, and then you go to a day where it's just you feel literally the same. But golf is just that that many variables. So yeah, I don't know. It was, I guess the thought was to kind of, I remember saying I wanted to win by more than how many I was up, but you just start playing golf and it's just, you know, I guess it is hang on at some point. I probably wasn't hanging on the second day, but I was hanging on, you know, come Thursday or the third and fourth round.
Have you played it recently? Have you been out to the golf course over the last few months? Did you play at Riv Week or anything?
I did not. I heard it was really soft and I honestly didn't want to do that.
Yeah, no reason to do it. Yeah. Are you one of those people? I know Rory had mentioned that, you know, he watches the fried egg videos and stuff. And like, do you do any of that research going into these major championship courses? I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, LACC, but there have been, you know, some changes over the last few years.
I have definitely done it before. I won't really do it this one. I've done it before. Like Oak Hill was cool to see a bit, but I don't know. I guess I could do it more looking back. But it just feels like, I don't know. I play 18 holes on Monday typically. And I guess it's cool to see it, but I wouldn't ever call it research.
Okay. Yeah. I was reading an article that they wrote, Golf Week wrote during Riv Week. And you said you're disappointed they're playing that first hole as a par four. They are playing it as a par five. And you were talking about George Thomas and the way he does this at all of his golf courses. You know, obviously it's kind of that friendly par five to start. And then, as you said, you get kicked right in the gut on number two. Is he your favorite designer? I mean, do you have a favorite course designer? Because it seems like his golf courses seem to kind of sing with your golf swing.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, at this point in time, yes, I've had probably the most success with him around around his courses. But yeah, I don't know. I like the little like Easter eggs that architects do I don't even know Easter eggs the right word, but they're little like nuances. Like I really like just the corny, hey, I'm going to give you one and then you have 17 holes to hang on to. It means nothing. It's not like some life altering decision. It's just cool. It really messes with your head at a Riviera. Like it really messes with your head. You miss that fairway. It's such an easy hole and you don't birdie it and you really feel over par. And then you go to two and I don't know. It's wild how that works. I don't know who my favorite, there's so many good ones, but I don't know.
He's probably up there. He's got to be up on your list.
I guess he's up on the list, but there's just so many good ones. It's hard to know, but I just like the little things like that. And LA is a really good golf course. I mean, Riv's my, there's always like the debate in LA about LA or Riv. And I don't personally think it's close, but LA's awesome. It's going to be great for a major. Like it's going to do an incredible, you can do a lot to make that place really hard. You can kind of control it a bit more. There's not tons of places for rough, which makes it easier, I feel like, to monitor. So I think it's going to be great for the major. But yeah, I mean, Riv is a work of art. So that one's a bit different.
I mean, they're very different. You know, I mean, when people see this place on TV, I mean, obviously same designer, but you mentioned with LACC and Riv, I mean, same designer, very different, right? Riv, you've got to work the ball off tees, and it's extremely demanding golf course off the tee. LACC, I would say, is probably the easiest in quotes, U.S. Open golf course off the tee since Erin Hills. So put your, like, Trevor hat on for a minute and talk me through what LACC is going to ask of you guys in terms of, like, what's the most important part of your golf game to be dialed. What can you not do, you know, poorly at this place if you want to get yourself in contention? And, I want to see how you do as an analyst because, obviously, you know, we'll get you ready for TV in about 10 years.
As much as I agree that it will be it's even easier than Erin Hills, I think, off the tee because there's no hay, even if you do miss it. But there's something about when people say that you still need to drive the ball well enough to be in the fairways. Like, there will be the pivotal holes, I guess, where you'll see it, too. It's one of those, if you miss that fairway, you're in deep trouble. But then there's holes like three, I feel like that's not a hard tee ball. I guess they moved to the tee, so I could be wrong here. But I feel like you can get away with missing that fairway if you were to. But there's holes where you can't, 12, You're going to look at holes like 8, the par 5, that you're going to want to be in that fairway. So there's going to be spots that are really, really, really easy off the tee, but there's going to be some spots where you're going to have to hit great drives. So I do still believe you're going to have to drive the ball well. This only part that might, that's going to be a bit unfortunate with this US Open, if I had to guess here, unless it is dumb firm, but I just think distance is going to matter a lot. Smashing it's going to matter. The course is long and the greens are, can get very, very firm. And there's a few that are back to front, but there's these little like nuances to them that you just are going to want to bring the ball in really high. And it's just going to lend itself to either being closer to the green or being one of the guys who can hit the irons high with a bunch of spin, just to give yourself any opportunity to leave the ball in the right spot. But yeah, I mean, looking back, the most important part to winning the golf tournament obviously is always putting, but when it comes down to the end, but it was the mid irons, long irons. You're just going to have a lot more of those. The par threes are wild. Four is not crazy long, but it's, you know, mid iron to maybe just longer than that. And then they can play 7. I mean, we played it one day, I think at like 260. And
I saw 288 is a possibility. Yeah.
There's 280. They have a par 4 possibility at like 303, which is sick. If they ever put the pin back right, it would be awesome. But yeah, I mean, they can make that hole as long as they want. And then same with 11. 11's even harder than that hole. It's maybe a tick shorter, but it's way downhill and there's really nowhere to land it. I'm not going to say that's the greatest hole on earth, but it's a wild hole. But you can, I will say, other than maybe 11, you can kind of leave yourself in decent spots, but then you're, you know, it's a US Open. You're going to be kind of grinding. 9 is another par 3 that I don't remember being crazy long, but it is kind of blind. And so it has some tough iron shots to get things close to the hole. Even the par 5s -1, I mean, they're a bit awkward. 14 is one of the coolest greens you'll ever see. It's very strange, but it's really cool. But then my favorite hole, like we always joke about this, we play all these 210, 220, 230 yard par 3s. The coolest hole out there is 15. We played it one day at the Pac-12s at 75 yards, and it was hard. So I don't know. It has a lot of cool stuff, but it will come down to, I just think you're going to see, I mean, Brooks Koepka, after what he did at the PGA and at Augusta, but at the PGA, I mean, I would imagine if you look at like a type, he would be a good model in that he has that great thump with an iron and he seems to hit a 5 iron like he would an 8 iron. So things like that, obviously I could, you know, could be wrong and there could be a lot of other ways to do it, but it does feel like you're going to have a lot of mid irons and compared to what we normally would get, I guess.
Do you, and again, I mean, obviously it's going to be condition based and, you know, it doesn't look like rain. I was looking at some advanced forecasting. It doesn't look like it's going to be wet at all. I mean, it's LA, for goodness sakes. I mean, how often does it rain there? But it looks like it's going to be like 70s during the day and stuff. Would you, if you had to pick like 13 under wins or 4 under wins, which one do you think is more likely?
I think they're going to get it pretty close to even.
Okay.
It's long enough, and because of the weather, and it's, you know, California, you can make that thing as dry as you want. I think if the U.S. Open or if the USGA wants to get weird with this and get back to like a crazy hard U.S. Open, I think this is an easy one to do it on because it won't be cheap. You're not doing it like you did at Wingfoot, where it's just like, oh, you missed the fairway, here's a bogey or double, which was, right. I mean,
and also you can't hit the fairway.
Yeah, and also you can't. I mean, God bless him, but that man, I don't. That was so bad. That was just so bad. And it's not the first time. So I'm going to say, like, it was awful. But they do, you know, if they want to go and make the scores really high, they will. This is a golf course I could see you being able to do that without tricking anything up. Just make it firm like they do it like a Shinnecock. Because it's one thing when it's firm and you're hitting a lot of short irons in. Like, you'll see some guys figure it out. It's another when you're hitting 7 irons and 6 irons and 5 irons to me. It's you just see so many less birdies because you just have to hit it so well and probably work it a little bit to get it anywhere near the hole. So I think that they can make it close to even. I do not foresee this being anywhere near a 10 under.
Okay.
Winner unless somebody just goes nuts. But I mean, I haven't played there in a while, but I just knowing it's in, you know, the time of year where you can firm out a golf course in California, I just cannot imagine that.
Around the greens, I mean, a lot of runoffs and a lot of that, like, open championship style golf shots you could hit in and around these LACC greens. And you've talked about this being a very busy season, the most golf you've played. When you think about preparing for the Masters, you're working on hitting draws, maybe with your 3-wood off the tee, or maybe even, you know, I know you joked that, you know, you can only hit one draw a year from Joe, but, you know, maybe you're hitting a couple of draws with a driver to get a feel for 13 or whatever. Do you have time to prep for shots you will use at a place like LACC around the green, like a bump and run 7-iron, or, you know, using more wedges around the green versus a 60-degree? Do you have the time and the facilities to practice those types of golf shots as you get closer?
I have the time. I don't have the facilities. We don't.
Okay.
I mean, you think about it, no golf course firms itself out right, you know, in the middle of summer or any time, really. So you play these majors in. I guess you have a better chance getting ready for someplace like Oak Hill because you could try to find a place that has a bunch of rough.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, I was chipping yesterday just like laughing. So you just try to do what you've been doing, you know, like or do what you normally work on. Land it here. I will say that this is not just majors, but before tournaments, if I'm trying to like prep specifically for an event, I don't care as much if the ball checks and gets really close to the hole. I care a lot more how it feels coming off. And if I hit the shot I was looking at landing about where I wanted to, I do the same kind of with my distance control. Like if the ball spins, but it landed where I wanted to, then I'm pleased if it came off the way I wanted to, things like that. So, because yeah, I mean, we'll have plenty of time to work on that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I'm not worried about finding, I'm just more
right.
Just don't get anal about the result, I guess, at home, because I mean, I just went to TPC yesterday. The greens are super grainy and pretty soft. The grass that you're chipping off of is much longer than what we're going to have. I couldn't practice putting from off the green if I wanted to. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think it's maybe the boys in Florida. I know that their facilities can get really baked and stuff, but I mean, I got the overseed out here and it's starting to turn a little Bermuda-y, but still never the same. So yeah, I don't know. I used to think, oh, I just wish they'd speed the greens up and go crazy. But I don't know. At the end of the day, right. It's I have plenty of time to work on it. I'm just going to do what I normally do.
What is your go-to on those shots? Like when you're off greens and again, this doesn't happen at a lot of golf tournaments, maybe once or twice a year, but when you're off a slope and it's tightly mowed and it's really fast, what is the club you typically go to if you're going to keep it on the ground?
I think putter, but I've used a 5-iron quite a bit as well. So it's usually 5-iron or putter. It depends. That's where the prep, like beginning of the week, will help, is just finding which one feels like it rolls the best. Like the 5 skids a bunch early and then it can get rolling, but it's obviously a little bit harder to do touch with, have good touch with a 5-iron. Putter's great. It's just some, I imagine if I remember right, LA, it's so matted. I don't think it'll bounce, but anytime that club can get kind of hopping and then that's scary. But yeah, I mean, it's why I love, and I know you do too, the short game around the greens off tight fairway, because when somebody asks like, what's your go-to? I was like, I have to tell you, I have to look at the shot you're asking me and that's what matters. Whereas if you'd said, what's your go-to at Oak Hill or Torrey Pines or whatever, oh, it's like I put my hands a little lower, I open the 60 and I kind of try to bury the heel. I could tell you how to hit any shot around those greens and it's just one, but at LA already, I mean, it could be a lot of different things and there's always a putter play. So I think that's going to make it unique. You know, I've never been to Shinnecock, but the more I keep kind of picturing major championships and US Opens in particular, I keep picturing Shinnecock. I feel like it's going to be a bit like that.
Totally.
Because it's going to be baked out and it's going to be a lot of fairway, but it's not going to, you're going to be like, why is this not easier? I feel like, I don't know. I think that's a good thing if they don't, you know, whatever they did last time with the golf course, but I think it'll be good because of all the variety. I always found that to be so interesting to play, but also to watch, you know, is he going to bump a 60 or 56, spin it? Is he going to run it? You start to see so much stuff and we just don't. When you have a bunch of rough, you just don't get that.
Absolutely. Outside of Lacey and Cam, I think your third love in your life might be your 7-wood. Is the 7-wood still play at LACC if you have to keep it low and hit these kind of stingy little shots? Like, is that going to make the team?
I don't know. I put this 3-iron in play at Colonial, and I felt very dirty.
You felt like a bad guy?
Because I love that damn 7-wood. But yeah, I mean, I would imagine 7-wood will play at LA.
Okay.
Because
okay.
you have to hit so many drivers anyways. I can't imagine needing to hit it off the tee very much. And I think it could be quite useful into the par threes if they have certain numbers. Yeah. So
that's right. That's a good point. It's like you might hit it at a 7.
Yeah, I could hit it at 7. I could hit it on 11. So it could be one of those where I keep the 3-iron in my locker and switch based off of where they put the tees each day, which is always so sick. That's the most tour thing, I will say, where you change your setup in your bag because your caddy goes out there and sees how far everything is in the morning, or we watch it on TV. I think that's as tour as it gets. But yeah, so I don't know. I'd be lying to you if I thought I could ever, if I ever wanted to win a major without my 7-1 in the bag. I feel like she deserves to be there. So I feel like I would hope that I get to use the 7-1. I'll say that.
Yeah, it'd be like Stinson not winning a major.
Yes,
with that
3-1. Like a I'm not going to say I'm quite on that level. Just my love for it is definitely similar to Stinson's love for his 3-1. I'm not as good at it, but.
You mentioned 15 already, and you've played there. You've played there in big events. You've won there, but you're at a U.S. Open, Max. You get on the tee of a par 3 at a U.S. Open, and Joe looks at you and goes, "All right, man, it's 77 yards." Like,
yeah.
How do you handle that mentally? I mean, I know you're in your round, but that's just such a foreign feeling to be pulling lob. Do you tee it up? Do you hit it off the turf? Like, what do you do there?
Depends what I need. It's actually funny. You could vary what you want the ball to do on the ground spin wise. So I guess that would depend. But I would tee it up. I've varied tee height on spin before out there. But it's such an interesting hole, man. I sat there when we watched the Walker Cup with my mom and just watched so many people butcher that hole. Yeah, it's just you got to be a great wedge player even just to hit maybe not all the shots on that hole, but definitely when they go up, tee up a short flag, because I was watching people one hop it to the back tier and people, I'll try to paint the picture, but it's basically like it goes back to front and then at halfway through the middle of the green, it just dives down. So the back half of the green is as low as the front is with a big kind of like runway in the middle, a rise in the middle. So if you land it too far and it takes a big firm bounce, you end up going down and long. So now you're putting up and down and you just had 77 yards, or you leave it in the front or back bunker. I mean, you have to hit a good shot. If you hit a good shot, you'll have a great look at birdie. It's not a hard shot, but that's what I love about watching pros like me get tested is here's 77 yards off a tee.
Right. See what you can do with it.
And someone will complain about it.
Of course.
This is a ridiculous hole. It's like it's 77 yards off a tee. Like, hit your number, you know, or leave it in the right spot in the bunker if you don't like it that much. So I think it will be awesome. I don't know if they'll play it at that 77 number, but I mean, the longest it gets is, I think, literally full 110? Stretched out is maybe 125 or 130. If it was back tee, back pin, I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but maybe 140. I mean, it's a short little hole, but the green's brilliant, and it's amazing how much better those holes are than the long par threes we play every week. But I mean, look at Oak Hill. 15th hole was the best hole that week, or best par three at least that week, and it was a short one. So hopefully, people continue to take notes that you don't need to make them 230 yards to be awesome. But I mean, here we are. It'll be fun to watch that hole. I think it'll be another great case study in watching people be probably aggressive there, because it's at a U.S. Open. It'll be at the end of most people's rounds, minus the one day where you're going to be like, oh, okay, here's my birdie opportunity. And you'll see it back-to-back with 14 too, because 14 is a really messed up green. It's a par 5 that usually you can't get two and two. So you have a wedge, and it's another one where if you get aggressive, you could be left in a really weird spot. So you can see having back-to-back wedge shots, 14, 15, and back-to-back, just what the hell just happens. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun to play. I am jealous of people watching on TV, because I do think it's going to be an awesome tournament to watch.
You mentioned going out to the Walker Cup. If you were going to tell people going to this US Open, if they had tickets, where would you set up shop for the day if you were going to go watch golf?
Oh man. if you're not going to walk around and follow the guys, where would you set up? I don't know where the stands will be, but what I did with my mom is I sat behind 15 green, which is next to 11T, which is the long par three, which is behind 10 green, and you could kind of see 14, the approach shot on 14. So I thought we could see a ton of golf, and 15 was fun to watch. And I thought that was a cool little area where you got to see a lot, and you can see the tee shots on 16. So that would be my vote. If you're just going to park it and just crack some beers and just laugh at how many bogeys you see.
I mean, have you had this circled for a while, Max? I mean, is this like, I mean, in terms of anticipation for a golf tournament and a major championship, I can only imagine that you've been excited that the U.S. Open's going to LACC, but at the same time, trying to find a way to kind of curb expectations and just go into it like it's just another week. Where has this been in terms of your excitement for a golf tournament?
I'm nowhere near where other people are. I haven't circled this. I've been successful in California, and they've all been Poana, and this is not. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm happy to be playing a major that I've played the golf course before and have good memories. Like, that will be fun. I think the golf course itself suits me really well, but so did Oak Hill. And this isn't like a trying to, throw water on this thing. I'm just saying that people are making it out to be like this crazy home game. And I've played there. I've played well there, which is great. But I mean, I'm excited just because I can go there and I know what the holes are going to look like. And we don't need to spend mass amounts of time figuring them out. Like, I know how I'm going to play most of it. I'm very excited to play a major in my hometown. That is the thing I've circled the most, is just, I remember when the dates got released and it was going to be in LA. I just remember saying I have to be qualified for that because I want to play like a championship, true championship in my hometown. I just think it would be the coolest thing ever just to get to do that. But now with that comes the crazy, I've gotten a million texts already for tickets. So I'm going to taper that off. But yes, I have it circled for completely different reasons than other people. I do not think this is my best chance I've ever had at a major. I think I've had great opportunities going in and haven't done well in them before. I think this is another good opportunity. I do think that the course, like I said, suits me, which is exciting, but that's not what's making me excited to go there. I think we all think that. I've been to most majors and thought this one's great for me. I thought Oak Hill was great for me. Southern Hill is great for me. Like, all these courses, I've been like, this is awesome. Like, you need to drive it well, hit your irons well. And like that, here we go. And then you get out there and they're just hard. I don't know. I've got this. I'm very, 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 very excited to go play there. I cannot wait for Sunday to fly over there. I can't wait to be out there Monday. Like, I'm so stoked, but I'm not sitting here saying that this is the one, guys. Like, this is the one, because I think that every week, and this doesn't feel any different. But I will say that, yeah, I mean, it is just a dream come true to get to play a major in your hometown, unless you're from Augusta or you get lucky enough the next.
Right. Unless you're Charles Howell.
You're lucky enough to be near where one of these road courses go to. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a dream come true. So in that regard, yes, I am. I absolutely had circled it.
Are you going to go to a Dodger game during the week?
I wanted to go with me and DJ were talking about going to White Sox because he's a diehard White Sox fan. God bless him. But I do have young Cam, and he is just at that age where I don't think sitting for he might still make it longer than Lathy would at a at a baseball game, but
an early season baseball game.
So I think,
all right, we did four innings.
I don't think so. I'd love to.
I think I might have got your ticket then, because I just saw DJ, and he was you're talking about Pyowski and
not me and DJ chatted about going to the Dodgers.
A couple more things, I'll let you go. The luggage train video that went viral with you had the luggage train. Is how long does that take you to put together?
Not long. Shout out to Club.
What do we have? What do we got going on all those bags? Is that body stuff or is that kid stuff?
No, it's kid stuff. I travel with two bags, maybe a third one for my launch monitors. But yeah, I just have my duffel and my golf bag. But then Lacey has her bag or two. And then Cam has a bag. And that week in particular, we are very lucky. The Hulkas travel around with a truck that has all our bins of family stuff or whatever we want.
Gotcha.
And so we have his pack and play and his monitors and his this, that, or whatever in there. but they couldn't get to Rochester, considering that the week prior was Dallas. So they were going to get there. So
pretty close.
Yeah. So we, you know, brought a couple extra things, but that's what it looks like nowadays. I mean, it's, you know, it's two people, but a kid, and the kid's got so much damn stuff. He got the stroller, all that stuff and his clothes in that other bag. We still have our bags and the golf. It's the golf clubs that ruin most of it. Cause we just, when we went to San Diego, we probably had the same amount of stuff, maybe minus one other bag, like a small bag. And it's just, you just don't, it's incredible. I don't know how you do it with two kids, but
it's just you. I mean, you just take every bag you own in your
house.
It
feels like we just have everything he owns is in a bag. So yeah. And then, but
that's why
like
you have nothing on your shelves.
Him. I mean, someone's got to get these bags. It's not like he can be dragging seven bags. So I don't know. A lot of people were like, man, that's crazy. You guys really don't pack very light. I'm just like, I mean, maybe you just haven't had a kid and traveled, or maybe the golf bag part is just the big deal. But I mean, it's, you know, that it didn't feel as when you pack up, you don't. I'm trying to take nothing, and it still get to that, so it's tough.
Do you ever yell "choo choo" at people as you're walking, like when to get them to get out of the way? Have you considered that? I'm just gonna throw that in your brain if you want to use that going forward.
I definitely have not done that one before. Don't okay, see that just, one happening.
Okay, just a thought. Last thing, Joker, and the Nuggets. I know your Lakers fell. In not great fashion, but how impressive have you got to watch much basketball? And are you as impressed with him as I am with how damn good he is at basketball?
Yeah, I went to a Suns game when they beat him by like a billion to win. It's wild. He reminds me of like a bigger, better Paul Pierce, where it just looks slow and doesn't really look like he's doing much. And he just chucks the ball and it just doesn't ever touch the rim. He's very special. I mean, he's what an awesome team. I couldn't believe they lost last night, but I don't foresee them losing. And yeah, he's cool. I know I tweeted, but my buddy Ben Marsh said that he would be the best. He must be the best beer pong player in the world, because doesn't it look like
ever?
He just like his little. Everybody misses those little touch 5-footers every once in a while. His just don't even look like they could ever touch the rim. They're so perfect. So I don't know. Do you think that the Nuggets are just gonna?
Yeah.
I mean, last night was a bit of a shocker, but
yeah. I mean, we were recording this a few days before, so that was Game 2, the Heat won. I think that's probably the only game. I mean, I just Denver's so good, and even last night, I texted that group and said, "All right, we got a series." And
then, yeah, they almost
and
won.
And then the Nuggets went like an 8-0 run.
I'll say this: after the Lakers played them, especially that fourth game. This sounds stupid, but when the Lakers were battling the fourth game, I almost was like hoping that they lost in a way, because it proved to me the Lakers played perfect. Like, we could not have been happier with what our team was doing. Like, as a fan, everything was going well and we were up like 2.
right.
I said, we're going to lose the next game. There's no doubt in my mind. Everything seems to be clicking. And that's what it feels like every time Denver loses a game or almost loses a game. It feels like the other team played as good as they could ask for, and they barely win. I mean, even Jimmy Butler walking off the court yesterday, it just looked like he like shook his head. He goes, "Wow!" And I almost think he was saying, "Wow, like we played great. Like we should have won by 18, and we won, you know, by the skin of our teeth." So I just they're so big. That's I guess the first thing I notice is when the Lakers played them, they're just taller than everybody in a way, and they can move around. But obviously Joker's he's freaky good at basketball.
It must have been like Bob May and Rocco when they were like, "Dude, I played so good,
yeah,
and this guy still tied me,
yeah,
and beat me in a playoff, you know, like I couldn't do anything." Max, appreciate the time. Good luck in LA. Fired up for you. Go Dodgers. Go.
Hell yeah. It's baseball season, by the way. People keep talking about these NBA finals. It is clearly baseball season.
What's your regular season viewing situation? Are you watching 50% of the regular season games, 30, 10%? Like, how often are you catching the game?
Yeah. I guess it just depends when we're out of town, what time they come on.
What time zone you're in?
Because that's
can't watch Dodger
part.
Games where I live.
Yeah, Griner.
The game starts at like 11.
Joe grinds them.
Does he?
Like grinds them. Yeah. Even if it's East Coast, and at some point I do need to sleep.
I know,
but I don't know how he does it, because even after like a long day, even if I wanted to stay up, I don't think I can do it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get to watch a ton, but I follow it on my phone until it's bedtime.
Well, appreciate the time, Max. Thanks so much. Good luck.
Thanks, Shane. See you.
All righty. A big thanks to Max for the time. A big thanks to you for listening and subscribing. And just a reminder, a late Father's Day gift, the Golfer Zoo is out there. Go to back9press.com/bacon and order a copy today. We'll be back with you very soon.